thing. I mean, not one single thing. I got some baby goats down there, and we've been having to bottle feed them. And I got a little bit late tonight. I had to go to Clemson and take care of some business with my daughter's vehicle. But, I'm just going to give you an update on the rag chew tonight, Walt. And Larry, if you in there, just going to kind of let you know kind of what's been going on this end. Trying to understand what I've been trying to learn on Tuesday nights. I decided I'd start with the actual transmission line. That I can understand. I can get my hands wrapped around it, and it's something to do. So I conducted a little test, and I just actually shocked at what I saw the past couple of days. So I took a 50-foot piece of RG-58, 50-foot piece of RG-8, and a 50-foot piece of some other cable. I'm not sure. It was some kind of RG-58 variant. I don't know what it was, actually. It's got some kind of gel mixed in with the conductor. And basically just set my radio up for 40 watts and sent a carrier through it and just tried to see what I could get at the end of that 50-foot run. And I had no idea that you get that much loss on VHF and UHF. I mean, at 50 feet with RG-58, it was almost half power at 50 feet. And to be honest with you, the RG-8 wasn't much better. But I learned that its frequency, it depends on the frequency. So I've been studying and been learning. And got my head wrapped around the transmission path, and doing a little bit better with the antennas. That book you gave me has been really helpful, and I believe I'm starting to zero down on it a little bit, but I just want to give you an update.
That antenna analyzer I gave you, I was going through some of my manuals here the other day, and I found the manual for that thing. That would help you out greatly. But I use that RG-58X coax cable, and it's not much better than the RG-58. And I'm thinking about, I think they make a bit that you can put in your drill to drill a hole through glass. I'm thinking about drilling a hole through the big glass window here in the side of my shack and get me some 450-ohm ladder line, a third wire man, and feed these antennas with that and put a grommet in that hole in that window and feed it through there, because that ladder line, you can't let it get close to the ground or close to metal, or your signal all goes in the metal or in the ground.
You gave me an antenna bridge, not a analyzer. I've been looking at those today. I'm not sure I might can use it for an analyzer of sorts, but and the other thing is, so I moved my antenna, got it. I had it just temporarily set up, so I got it up probably around 60 feet and got it nice and secure, and ran me some PVC in the ground, took a bobcat and dug me a trench and run some PVC in the ground from the house so I can run my coax through it without my daddy getting a hold of it with the lawnmower. And grounded my station, and I cannot believe the noise difference. I've got my radio grounded, I've got my tuner grounded, all of the coaxes running through polys, and they're grounded, and yeah, just no wonder I was struggling so much with noise. It's just this a completely different situation.
Yeah, the antenna bridge and the antenna analyzers are basically the same thing. If you set that bridge to the frequency that you are transmitting on, and you set the controls up there, the inductance and all, for the frequency you're going to talk on, and that thing will send a signal, an RF signal, through that coax up to the antenna, and then you turn that tuning dial till it nulls out to where the meter drops down to zero. And look up there at that dial, and that's the frequency that antenna is resonating on.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that, Walt. I appreciate you telling me. I've been trying to figure the thing out for a couple months, and then just kind of got sidetracked on this whole antenna thing. But, yeah, so I'm going to save the rest of the comments and what I've learned for Tuesday night on the antennas. But I think I'm getting pretty close. But we'll talk about it more on Tuesday night. And I'm sorry you didn't make it to Shelby. I know you was looking forward to that. But if you want me to, I got a brand new pair of channel locks. They're still in the plastic. I'll rub some alcohol on them. I'll come over and pull that tooth for you if you want me to.
The cough down into the gum, I believe they're going to have to cut it out. And I've got three more down there that need to come out. And I'm going to get them out. And then I'll have to wait till January for my insurance to recycle, and I'm going to go get a set of dentures. I'm tired of putting up these rotten teeth. I don't know why they didn't pull them while I was in the Navy. They kept trying to save them, capping them and filling them, and it just didn't work.
Hear that, Walt? excuse me. I know that's not fun to have dental pain, especially when you got an abscess like that, and it sure does make you feel bad. But at any rate, I appreciate the rag to you, Daniel. I appreciate you letting me stop in here for a few minutes. But I'm gonna bug on out and let y'all have it. Just gonna let you know I've been trying to apply what you and Larry have been teaching me. And sometimes I need to think about things and get it into a language I can understand. So I think I'm pretty close, but we'll work it out on Tuesday night. This is KO4NUE, and I'm clear. Y'all have a wonderful night, and good night to everybody on the net.
Hello, KJ4WZM. I have some questions for you real quick.
Okay, Daniel, that sounds good. Walt, I was going to tell you one other thing. So, made a mistake today, and feel really bad about it, actually. My cousin lives in Pickens, and he's a ham radio operator. But he's extra class. He went ahead and got his extra license, and we've been trying to make contact on HF now for a couple months. We just haven't had any luck whatsoever. So I called him on the cell phone today and said, hey, you know, let's try again. I got my antenna moved, and, you know, give me a frequency to go to, and we'll, you know, we'll put a call out there to see if we can have better results. Not thinking about it, he sent me a frequency out on the amateur class, the amateur extra class, and I didn't think a thing about it. I really didn't. And it did not take long. Just as soon as I put my call out there, I got told real quick. So I just feel horrible about it. I mean, I normally don't miss things like that, but I missed it, and he missed it too, and I don't know. I might get me a little nasty gram through the FCC, but I mean, he was nice about it. But he let me know, you need to get within your limits. And I guess that's more motivation to go get my extra now.
One time and one time only. Out of the 43 years I've had my license, I put out a CQ out of band. And they let me know right quick. They put me in my place, Chad. So I'll say 7-3s to you, Chad, and get back to Daniel, KJ4 WCM. He's got a few questions for you. Go ahead, Daniel.
Real quick, are you familiar with engines?
With them, Daniel. What you got?
A fool out of myself someday. I'm really wondering if something's feasible or not. I own an old Ford Explorer that I really wish was closer to a more modern power output than what it is. It's a 4-liter V6 overhead valve engine. This is before they redesigned it with the single overhead cam. This is before they put the plastic timing chain tensioners in. My old engine, I was able to get 421,000 miles out of it before it went bad. Actually, it still ran when I took it out. It hadn't completely blowed up yet, but it was working on it. I was wondering if it is at all possible to build that engine to around 300 horsepower, or if I would need to get a completely different engine to do so. I was thinking about doing things like porting and polishing the heads and either turbocharging it or supercharging it to around 6, 7, 8, 9, no higher than 10 PSI. I was wondering if I'd blow the entire bottom end out of the engine, or if I'd just be better off getting a different engine for it.
I guess if you've got enough money to put into anything, you can make things work. I mean, it depends on what tier level you want to take it to. So normally, you know, engines like that are built to a tier level. You know, tier one's going to be your supercharged and things like that. And it just takes a lot more time to build those and really good components and a really good machinist to stay within the kind of tolerances. But let me get this right. So you're wanting to take the 6-cylinder and put some horsepower in it, or I'm not sure which one you're trying to get the horsepower up on a little bit.
I could build that engine, the six cylinder, the V6. I was wondering if I could build that engine up to around 250 to 300 horsepower, or if I would be better off getting a V8 engine or a diesel engine and putting it in there instead.
Next question would be, what are you going to use it for? Are you going to race it, or are you just looking for something that's got a little more horsepower just so you can work it, or what?
The power out of it to work it, not to race it, is what I was going to do, is put on slightly larger tires and a lot heavier equipment, put solid front and rear bumpers on it with winches inside of it and different things like that. The vehicle would gain probably about a ton more than what it does now If I didn't do something with the power output, it would be very sluggish.
I guess everybody's got an opinion, and, you know, I'm kind of a diesel guy. I like diesels. I do a lot of diesel work down here in the shop with engines. And I'm really fond of the old Cummins BT4s and the BT6s. They're common rail, and they're just indestructible. And they'll run forever. They got decent horsepower. And do pretty good, you know, especially in a truck if you're going to work it and put the bigger tires on it and things like that. Is the truck a 150, a 250, or a 350?
This thing's a first-generation Ford Explorer. And the reason behind my interest in it is because this vehicle is really crazy. It has the what's referred to a lot of times as a twin traction beam suspension. I better throw my whole call out here real quick. KJ4WZM. It has what's referred to as a twin traction beam suspension. The right wheel pivots from the left side of the chassis, and the left wheel pivots from the right side of the chassis. It has long travel suspension. Especially the capabilities of it, what you can do with it is really crazy, as far as what you can build the vehicle into. And I have driven this thing all through the North Carolina, Tennessee mountains immediately after snowstorms, when there's up to 2 feet of snow on the ground in the mountains, on isolated passes with no guardrails, no other vehicles up there, just you, the vehicle, in 2 foot of snow. Winding my way up at 5,000, almost 6,000 feet of elevation, and have had no problems with it. I have a video of this one. I pulled a double trailer 18-wheeler up 5% grade in Asheville when the truck slid down the hill and got stuck. And I pulled it out with this vehicle up 5% grade for about a half a mile and turned him loose. And then later on, I ended up pulling him into his yard. The thing is really, really stupid, crazy, strong for what it is. It does a lot more than what I thought it could ever do. But I wanted to take its capabilities to another level. And I have honestly been considering putting a diesel engine in it instead of the gasoline one. But at that point, I'd need a completely different transmission and transfer case as well. I'd love to go diesel with it. That's probably my biggest goal. I really want to turn it into a diesel vehicle. But I understand, too, it's going to gain a lot of weight when I do that, and it's going to cost me some serious money. But I just wanted to figure out what direction I wanted to go with it before I start sinking any money into it. Because I wouldn't want to blow up my gasoline engine trying to get the power out of it that I'd need out of a diesel, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I understand. Well, Daniel, I don't know, bud. I don't get too much into telling people what they need to do with their vehicles. I mean, I'll sit here all day and talk with you all day about it, and tell you what I know. I just build them, and they tell me kind of what they want, and you know, I'll tell them if they're within. You know, well, you know, you can do that or you can't do that or whatnot. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're not gonna go wrong with an older engine carbureted. I know some people are against that kind of stuff, but, you know, the more electronics you can get off of it and just get back to bare bones, that's always a good thing, too. But as far as, you know, what to do to what you want to put in the thing, that's to have to be your decision. But if you need any help with that end of it, I'll be glad to, you know, help you where I can. But like I said, I just build them. Dirt track racers or farmers or whatever, you know, I just cycle them through the shop and do the best I can with them. But anyway, I hope you have good luck with it. And is this the one the tie rods, ball joints are going in?
Chris. I've put a lot of time and effort into this thing, and all I've done with it, putting in time and effort, just keeping it going on down the road until I have to work on it for the next time, but I really want to get it into a condition where I don't have to worry about it for a very long time. It's kind of a mid-sized vehicle. It can go places that a bigger vehicle couldn't, but it also won't be able to do some things that a bigger vehicle could. But I wanted to get about the best of both worlds as I could out of it, is what my goal is. I wanted to basically turn it into somewhat of a recovery vehicle, especially since it can go places a lot of vehicles its size get stuck in that you couldn't get a 5500 tow truck in and things like that. So I guess I'll talk with you some other time about it, because I do have a lot of questions, especially about if I wanted to convert it over into a diesel, things like that. But that's what I wanted to do with it, is make it into a recovery vehicle, something a lot more heavy duty than what it is at the moment stock.
I think I understand what direction you're going with it. But, yeah, just let me know if I can help you. And shoot me an email. I'll send you my cell phone number, or Walt's got it, either one. And so I'll leave you with that, bud. Good luck with it. And if you need any help with whatever you decide to go with, just give me a holler, and we'll cycle it through the shop or help you where I can with it. This is KO. Is that all your questions, Daniel?
Yeah, I got an idea now of what you do. I'll probably catch up with you at some point about converting it over to a diesel, because that's really what I wanted to do with it all along anyways. I'll probably catch up with you at some point and discuss it further.
Start with the governmentliquidation.com. Or Iron Planet. You can find those BT4s and BT6s on Iron Planet. Just be advised now, make sure it is not a Marine BT4 or BT6, because they run counterclockwise instead of clockwise. So don't ask me how I learned that, but just be advised, if it's got Marine on it, you better do some checking.
Okay. And is that 4-liter and 6-liter engines?
Not sure. I mean, I can look it up and get back with you. I honestly do not recall, but that's a good question. I should know, but I don't. But just check those two websites. You can find them there, and just find you one that's just wore out, and we'll go from there, because they're pretty inexpensive to build. If they're not tore all to pieces. But anyway, Daniel, I'm tired, bud. I'm gonna let you go. That's KO4NUE, and I'll be clear. I appreciate the rag to you, bud.
Chad, thanks for hopping back on and talking to me for a little while. I do appreciate it. I'll talk to you later on down the road. So, you have a good one, 73. KF4NUE and K4YM, been great talking to both of y'all. I'll go ahead and see if I got any more check-ins before I close the net out. I have a message room for check-ins. Please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. That's not at this point. I'll go ahead and fill out my net report. Got 50 check-ins, and I'll post that in a minute.
I was going to ask a question in 4BXB. Yeah, I was wondering, aren't you folks having a ham fest down there this coming Saturday?
Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club ham fest.
Roger, roger.
I have bad news, but I do believe that the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society canceled their ham fest for this year.
I didn't know. That's what I've been waiting to ask. We were going to go if they were going to have it. Okay, I appreciate it. 73 and 4BXB.
Problem. Believe me, I'm a bit disappointed myself. I'll have some questions to ask folks later on about that because it kind of caught me off guard. We've had a ham fest for decades now, and all of a sudden it's gone. I'll save those folks. I mean, I'll save those comments for the folks that I got them for now. Alrighty. Well, no problem. Sorry about that. This is KJ4WZM. WZM now securing the Blue Ridge Community Internet with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may ping. Yeah, we'll now turn their repeater back to normal amateur use 73s. To everybody, God bless and good night.